There it is. You guys know what that means. It's time for Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. Saturday in the civic media listening area, all over Wisconsin, parts of Minnesota, Michigan. And hey, you people in the UP, I know you can't hear us right now, but something saying the UP might start hearing a little bit of civic media. Just a little back thing that I'm kind of hearing. And so, but man, love Johnny being with you, Jacob with you on our Saturday show, full 1 hour. I mean, absolutely love the weekly shows, the podcasts that we drop, but always can't wait to do a full hour because most, you know, it's really cool knowing that all of the civic media listeners, all of the civic media app people, and yeah, Johnny, as we like to point out, those people in Finland who have the Civic Media app that love to listen to Busted Pencils, we appreciate you. So make sure, yeah, download the Civic Media app. And Saturday, one full hour, fully back to school. And I got to say, here in the Mid-Atlantic, Pennsylvania, 48 degrees in the evening last Friday night. Yeah.
Wow, you're getting a little cold snap there.
Man.
You know, Tim, I hope that this is, you know, I like that this is Saturday back to schoolish, but hopefully I always feel like school should start after Labor Day. Like, yeah. Let's squeeze out one more weekend before we're back to school. Of course, where I am at, you know, all the kids are back in school. I've been teaching for a few weeks now, but I miss those, hey, let's push it all the way through Labor Day. So hopefully pencil busters out there, you're listening and you're squeezing those last days of summer out of August, and you're gearing and ready to go next week.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, it's back to school, John. I agree, right after Labor Day, but hey, it's Labor Day weekend, and so this is what we're doing here. We always do and love the Saturday shows because, you know, I mean, sometimes Johnny and I and Jacob like to really spend a lot of time talking, but we really appreciate when we have guests. And I got to tell you, man, what does it say when you've been waiting 9 years for a guest and you finally get them? And to realize that, where did this guest, how did this happen? Well, roughly 9 years ago in a punk bar in Milwaukee in the Cactus Club with one of our favorite pencil busters, Dr. Joanna Rosado of Educators Amplified, put together her first program and introduced me to this awesome teacher now, more than that, but Angelina Cruz. Well, let's be honest, let's be real. Representative Cruz, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you doing, Angelina?
I'm doing great. I'm exhausted, but so excited to be with you two. Had I known that you wanted me on prior to this, I more than would have accommodated you. So we'll have to make this a regular thing.
Oh, I like that. A little check-in with Representative Cruz. But now I'm teasing a little bit, Angelina, because it's just, you know, the organicness of how this work happens, where people go. And in fact, you know, where we were when we met, it was this whole idea, again, of what's best for public schools and bringing together a group of people and a group of fighters. And the fact that 9 years later, here you are, Representative Cruz. And I know we're going to talk a lot about Wisconsin, but it was that activism and advocacy for public schools that really, I think, what propelled where Busted Pencils is now in 2025, and hopefully where Representative Cruz is now. So give us a little taste, though, the listener, of the journey from, you know, where you were, what you're doing now, and what's this Representative Cruz all about?
Right. So great question. I have entered the season of my life in which I can identify myself as a veteran public school educator. So I started teaching in in 2003 in the Racine Unified School District. I was a fifth grade elementary school teacher, so I taught at a K-5. And I thought that it was my favorite thing to do on the face of the planet. I thought that I would just expire in room 9 at Dr. Jones Elementary School. I loved it so much. And so 2003, I started teaching. I went back for my MS in educational policy and graduated with that from UW-Milwaukee in 2010. And then in 2011, when our illustrious then governor, Scott Walker, passed his budget repair bill, and as part of that legislation called Act 10, which stripped public sector workers of their collective bargaining rights, it occurred to me I needed to activate my political activism and apply it towards my union. And so we in Wisconsin experienced sort of this unprecedented assault on public sector workers, and I would argue most specifically on public school teachers. What we say as public school teachers and public school unionists specifically is that public teacher unions are the last line of defense in the war against public education. And so I got really plugged into the work of my union. So at that time, I became a building representative in the building that I taught in. I eventually became the political action committee chairperson, and then I became an elected officer, and I worked myself all the way up to the president of our local and was elected in 2016. I'm the first Latina to represent it was Racine Education Association. Since then, I oversaw sort of the unification of the REA and the Racine Educational Assistance Association. So both of our bargaining units sit under the umbrella of Racine Educators United. We recognized as bargaining units that our struggles were one struggle and unified. And so I've been the longest sitting president of Racine Educators United and still occupy that seat to this day on August 26th of 2025. I'm in the second year of the last term I was elected to. I've been part of a lot of the activism by virtue of my union in the political landscape as well. And so part of getting a Democratic governor elected, you know, against Scott Walker, part of getting Supreme Court justices elected, despite, you know, the Elon Musks of the world dumping billions of dollars into our state, part of winning fair maps. And so it was the winning fair maps that sort of presented the opportunity in Racine, opened up a new seat. And the assembly person who once sat in Assembly District 62 moved. He hopped to the district next door, which is the redder, more conservative district. And Assembly District 62 is up, which covers primarily the city of Racine. So it's very blue, very diverse. It's very economically depressed. But it's where I live and I love it. And I thought that it was incumbent upon me in this moment to step into that leadership position, and become the first elected Latina to represent Racine. And so it's been quite the journey, but here I sit before you.
I know
the
Johnny.
Representative Assembly District 62.
I'm sorry for jumping in there like that, because I'm so excited, because you are the illustration of what Johnny and I have been saying, talking about, wanting to highlight, is the school teacher, the love of public education, and how you're just a natural fit to then also take the move and the story and the journey that you did. Johnny, please. I know you got a lot on this one, man.
Well, Tim, even more than the illustration for it, I will say the inspiration.
Yes.
For that vision, for that kind of idea, as we champion here at Busted Pencils, you know, everyday folks who are in the trenches, like you said, on the front lines of democracy, in community, you know, participating with the growth of that community. And teachers are such a glue for that work and that movement, especially teacher unions, right? So working together in community for the quality of life, not only that kids in our classrooms have, but that we all share in our communities. And so we're always saying it's inspiring when teachers do what they do in their classrooms, yes, but then also build on that and spread that experience through becoming engaged formally in the politics of our democracy, right? And that's so inspiring, Representative Cruz. So thank you for sharing a little bit of that backstory. I'm so glad that after 9 years, Tim, that Representative Cruz is here, you know, joining to share that story and to spread that contagious energy that we want educators to hear. Hey, if you're like Representative Cruz, you can not only be the change in your school and your classroom, but in your community and in your state. So thank you for that work.
Oh,
thank you.
So, Representative Cruz, which I now have to get used to saying because, you know, no longer just texting Angelina from the Cactus Club. Representative Cruz, though, and I really do. I mean, hopefully, Jacob, let's get her just introduction talk the way she put that together and break that up, because you gave that primer of public schools, Johnny, we say the foundation of democracy, and the living action that you really, and I'll say illustrate, but then inspiring of going, that's what we mean when it says, how are public schools the bedrock, the foundation of our democracy? Well, our teachers in realizing, and again, the moment that I've heard this in Wisconsin so many times, Act 10 really made clear the assault that people were willing to undertake to take away democracy, and how you all, and I think this, boy, how stupid was it to go after teachers and the unions? Because, boy, Scott Walker, you activated democracy. And I know we're coming up on 1 minute there, Representative Cruz, so I'm not going to throw, as Johnny and Jacob would say, a Tim curve at you and kind of leave you set up there. But, you know, so all of this work we kind of highlighted, but now you are Representative Cruz, and right away now there are things that you're dealing with in the legislature, and particularly, hey, the Wisconsin budget again. Man, so when we get back, let's jump into right away, you know, what do we know about what's happening with the Wisconsin budget? Well, we're going to ask Representative Cruz on Busted Pencils when we get back. Welcome back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Me, Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, Saturday. And we are very, very happy because we have such a great guest, Representative Cruz. Man, from my first meeting with her around 9 years ago, Cactus Club, teacher, organizer, activist, educators amplified, now to the state legislature. First part of the show, Representative Cruz, you really gave an inspiring story of, you know, from fifth grade teacher to Representative Cruz and union president still, right? Not wiping that out. But, you know, so now you're in the legislature, you've been, you know, working on things. I was looking at, you know, your representative, your webpage, the legislation you've been going on. But what's going on with the budget? Because I tell you, you know, Johnny and I, since we've been doing the show, I mean, the Wisconsin legislature and the Wisconsin budget seems to always be still there. And I know you've got new maps, but they haven't fully taken effect. And so we're still wrestling with Republicans in the legislature, still messing with a budget that makes sense. I mean, help us understand what's going on.
Right. So we have new maps. We have more seats on the Democratic side of the aisle, but Republicans still hold the majority in both the Senate and the state assembly. So they have the power. The budget that we saw was, I know that it's been referred to as a bipartisan budget, but it is, to be clear, very much a Republican budget. And it did pass with support from people on our side of the aisle as well, for various reasons that I can't speak other people's truths for them. So that is, I guess, another segment. You can ask them yourself. But I would say it was very disconcerting to me. You did ask how I ended up running for state assembly, and I said new maps, but also a piece of that was that I was so angry about the last state budget. We've had more than a decade of disinvestment in the state's public schools. Those of us that, are public education advocates or have public education backgrounds and ed policy understand perfectly well what the state legislature is doing, which is intentionally defunding public schools in an effort to privatize them. So this budget, what it actually did this time around, only serves to deepen that disinvestment. Quite dramatically. I, on a number of occasions, pointed out to my colleagues that from my perspective, this budget was worse than the 2011 budget repair bill put forward by Scott Walker. There is absolutely no money, $0 in general aid put forward for public schools. And at the same time, the budget increased investment in vouchers and voucher schools. It's the first budget that we've ever seen an entire budget cycle with no increase in general school aids, no per pupil increase, none, in spite of rising costs. So we know that school funding was decoupled from inflation quite a long time ago, over a decade ago. The state aid has not kept pace with inflation. That problem has been exacerbated by the fact that the state legislature hasn't fulfilled its constitutional obligations to fully fund public education. Seemingly under the radar, the headlines seem to be very glowing in regards to the investments made in special education, investments in public education in general, but I would argue that it's essentially a shell game. And what this budget actually did accomplish was the extension of privatization, with increases for vouchers in Milwaukee, in Racine, statewide. Voucher schools are going to get per pupil increases. Public schools are not going to get per pupil increases. We know that statewide people showed up to testify for the need to increase special education funding. Some of us were arguing that the special education reimbursement should parallel what is going to voucher schools, which is a 90% reimbursement rate. Others said, hey, we'll be happy with 60%. 60% would bring us up to the amount that would satisfy us and would help. Which should never have precluded general aid, right? Like, you have to have both to start moving towards making public schools whole. But we didn't even reach 60%. 60% is what the governor put into his budget. 90%, I believe, is what State Superintendent Jill Enderle put into her budget proposal. And so we came nowhere close. We got 42% the first year, 45% the next year. And it's, I mean, I'm skeptical that we would even ever reach those reimbursement rates over approximately, I mean, it's an improvement over the approximately 30% that we've been receiving, but it's nowhere near what our kids need, what our public school educators need.
Wow, man. And just bringing that through there, as we're, you know, holy crap, we're coming up on another break, but boy, you pointed that out. So many questions. I could see Dr. Lupinacci's eyes going like, I got to ask this. Hey, pencil busters out there, you're listening. We got more questions, because that was just where it is and where we're at. How'd we get there? I'm confused too, because it passed with bipartisan support. Oh, what does bipartisan support really mean? Well, we're going to ask that question when we get back. Busted Pencils, see you in a bit.
Hey, welcome back. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. That's right. I'm here with Dr. Tim Slecker, and I'm Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. And if you've been listening, well, thanks for keeping on with us. But if you just tuned in and you're out there catching this Saturday broadcast, we have the honor of Representative Angelina Cruz with us today. And in the first half of the show, we were going into a little bit of the backstory of, you know, teacher, classroom teacher to representative, and along the way, you know, keeping union president as part of that. Like, Tim, blue collar scholars we are, we're in good company here with Representative Cruz. And we talk often about school funding, and especially around budgets. And we had, you know, the state superintendent on. We talked about really great budget proposals. And then we reviewed the governor's version and then the voted on. And we heard lots of testimony from callers and from people, listeners, you out there who went to your Capitol and spoke on behalf of the need to adequately fund public education. And Dr. Cruz joined us in the first part of the show and talked a little bit about how, you know, this most recent budget is, you know, billed as a bipartisan success. And that meant that, yes, some of the Democratic folks on, you know, as part of the decision making signed on to it. But that, you know, to summarize, it's crumbs towards taking care of children in our schools. It's more in some cases than we were getting, but it's still crumbs in up against what's necessary. So, Representative Cruz, I'm going to ask you, just like for our listeners, can you speak a little bit to that in terms of, you know, off the air, we were talking a little bit about how we explain it. Like, these things are incredibly complicated by design. In terms of when I say these things, I'm referring to school funding budgets and all that stuff, that we were jokingly saying you need a PhD in something, you know, like, it's not education, and it's not, you know, finance. It's not economics. It's something in this particular moment, but that's by design. And I really love the anecdote you shared. So I'm going to re-ask that question. So, and take us back to a little bit about how, when we look at this, yes, in some cases we get a little more per se in percentage for special education, but it's not nearly enough. And then how you explain school funding to like your constituents, and when we're talking about this, like breaking down the, I don't even know what to call it, Tim. I can't even call it rocket science. It's just, you know, the tomfoolery of school budgets when we're, you know, holding back money from what kids need.
Great question. And it's a really big one, right?
Yeah, sorry.
No, don't apologize. It's like, this is the challenge we are confronted with right now. So it's incredibly complicated, as you said, on purpose. Something that I kept going back to and trying to help my colleagues navigate what we were looking at in terms of public school funding when we were, you know, sort of discussing what was in the budget is that, yes, we got a significant bump in special education. The problem was like the big donut hole next to general aid. And so what I said is, you don't need to understand the complicated nature of school funding to understand that $0 is a problem. So even though we're getting a significant bump in special education from 30%-ish to 42 to 45%-ish, the other general aid category being zero is extraordinarily problematic in light of that. Also, I do like to elevate the fact that, you know, we talked earlier about there being this really concerted effort to systematically divest in public education for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So the bar in Wisconsin is so low in terms of making historic investments that somebody... took a shovel, buried or dug up the ground, threw the bar into the hole and like covered it over with dirt, right? Like the bar is below ground. It's so low. So like our historic investment still isn't bringing in anywhere near up to the levels that we need to be in terms of repairing the damage that has been intentionally inflicted on our public school system.
I think the way, too, when you point this out, for some people, it's like, well, we don't have the money, and so we had to do this, and we had to do that, and so zero. But Angelina, voucher schools, somehow this budget found all kind of money for not public schools. Talk yep. about that.
Right. So here's a couple of telling numbers that I wrote down just to help people to understand. Milwaukee's voucher program will cost taxpayers more than $711 million direct from the general purpose revenue. So that's not attached to people's property taxes, but comes from GPR, which it was moved there a very long time ago. You know, Milwaukee has the original and the oldest voucher system in the country. But that's a staggering increase of about $85 million over the last budget. And this budget plans for more students to use vouchers. In Racine, the budget allocates more to Racine's school choice program than the previous budget. So Racine's school voucher program will receive $101 million over the next 2 years, of which my district will be forced to return $96.5 million. And again, there is no pupil increase to offset that increased cost. So, and then also like people, you know, people will say, well, what of that, right? Like we should have competition and public schools should be able to compete with these other schools. And that's all fine and well, if you want to argue for the free market, but like our argument is that we're taking money from the public, state taxes, property taxes, and we're giving it away to private institutions with no strings attached whatsoever. So there's no transparency. They're not subject to open records requests and open meetings laws. There's no accountability. They don't have elected school boards. And there's no requirement to serve every student. So they can be selective about what students. They can accept students. They can decide, I don't want to keep those students. But they get to keep the money attached to the students that they enroll and then can kick them back to the public school systems with no money attached to them. So they actively recruit public school kids, public school families, and it's the game of getting the public money into their institutions and then cherry picking who they want to actually educate and who they want to send back to the public school system.
I think about that too when people go, well, yeah, this is market, this is choice, this is competition. But I even think about, is it really, or is it tilting the game in favor of, when you say $0, remember that zero, people listening, listener, pencil busters, $101 million though for vouchers. That feels like not competition, that feels like overwhelming odds of throwing it in favor of vouchers against public schools. Am I off track?
Not from my perspective.
Okay.
I would 100% agree with you. What is happening is the state legislature is being neglectful of their constitutional obligation to fully fund public schools, and they're putting that money very intentionally into private institutions with no accountability and no transparency to the taxpayers. And so we see increased efforts at the grassroots level. I think Wisconsinites are starting to wake up, which is why so many people showed up to advocate for investment, fully funded public schools, because people are tired of having to go to referendum to fund their local schools. And we know that local schools are the cornerstone of many of our communities, whether we're talking about urban centers, urban districts, or whether we're talking about rural districts. Public schools are so important to everybody, regardless of political affiliation. So we had people who identify as Democrats show up and testify for public schools. Republicans show up to testify for public schools. People who identify as independents show up and testify for public schools. So this really is a no-brainer in terms of what Wisconsinites want. It was one of the top issues that people showed up to speak out for.
Johnny, I'm surprised to hear you doing so much kind of like listening.
Well, if you're able to tune into the YouTube, you see me nodding. I mean, Representative Cruz is speaking my language. I think we're all, preaching to the choir in some context here as folks who can just boil it down and say, education is really important. It's bipartisan, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, caring about the future of the young people and our democracy's development and the support they have to be, strong contributors to our community. I mean, this is like Representative Cruz said, it's a no-brainer, and then, to me, though, it also reminds me of like that we have to be aware of that. And I love, Representative Cruz, that you talked about this responsibility, constitutional obligation to fund public schools. Because I think it's a shirking of responsibility of governments in general, not just the Wisconsin government, although that's what we're talking about here today, but that's an endemic countrywide, is to say, well, not our responsibility to do the whole thing. I mean, come on, individuals have to. You talked about referendums. So if you have that locally happening and passing, because yes, when you put the responsibility on the community, they're gonna show up. But I feel like our state governments are taking advantage of that good nature, of that strong will and support that people have to support their schools. They're saying, well, if they did this much, they'll do more next time. They'll do more next time. And that's given governments the opportunity to shirk, to sidestep that responsibility that we're saying, ultimately, we should be funding all of these schools adequately. And we're just not. And we're putting that responsibility on you, taxpayer, on you, listener, on you, parent or community member out there who's listening, who gets told, well, we got more because they're asking you to give more individually as a community. And that just should not be the way it is.
Well, and so Representative Cruz, before you go, okay, you're going to keep fighting for public schools, but, quickly, what's exciting in the future for people who love democracy with, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to answer that question.
Oh, God. I think, okay, so I, politics are a contact sport, I firmly believe. That's how I ended up in the state capitol. And so I think the simple view of state government is you tell your legislator the problem, they can introduce legislation, which we can, but what we really need to move forward, legislation is community backing us and really pushing and rising up and demanding what we need as communities.
You know what? We need a Representative Cruz regular appearance on Busted Pencils. We just started this. But Representative Cruz, thanks for busting pencils. And hey,
thank you so much.
Yep. And Johnny and I will be back to break it down for one more segment. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it's almost over. Man, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Me, Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, Saturday. Oh, man. These shows, though, they go so quick. My goodness. But we loved having Representative Cruz on the show. Johnny, so much there, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely. You know, it's for anyone who got to listen, you know, today, what a blessing Racine mm-hmm. has in Representative Cruz. And also what a gift to have her just, you know, just break down the process and kind of the moment we're in, not only regarding budgets, but in, you know, the whole purpose of why we support our public schools and what's so important about it. And I'll just tell you, I'm a huge fan. I mean, I loved listening and nodding along and just being like, yes, you are singing our song. You are, you know, playing my favorite jams, Representative Cruz. But I mean, this is going to stay with me for a while. I love this. I mean, here I am doing the broadcast today from a hockey arena. It's hockey season and I love it. But Representative Cruz said, you know, politics is a contact sport. And I mean, every cell in my body danced. That couldn't be said more eloquently, more blue collar scholar-esque.
Yes.
Right. Politics is a contact sport, you know, so we love contact sports. We love, you know, Representative Cruz, big fans here, obviously. You heard by our support of pretty much all of what, you know, Representative Cruz was talking about. But, you know, I come back around to it. It's like breaking it down, Tim. My dad used to have a saying and he'd share it with me, and it's not FCC compliant, but I think I came up with one that is, you know, you need to know the difference between shoe polish and apple butter. Right. And that's a little bit different. If you know the original saying out there, listener, it has something to do with shinola and something.
Yeah, yeah.
But you need to know the difference between shoe polish, right, which is something of value of use, and apple butter, which is just like, you know, it's not even good jam. Maybe sorry if you like apple butter out there. That's the substitution for the word I can't say. Right. So but, you know, when it comes down to these budgets, it's made out to be rocket science, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not as complicated. If you know the difference between shoe polish and apple butter, then you know the difference between underfunding education, taking money from the kids who need it the most, the classrooms where we invest in our future, right? When we invest in the strength of our economy, the strength of our democracy. And when you take money away from that and you underfund that, mm-hmm. and then you have the audacity to put it on the community, individuals, families, right. and small businesses and people in our local communities to pick up the slack, you know, one, you either don't know the difference between apple butter and shoe polish, or you do, and you're just sticking it to the man. You're just putting it to the hardworking people who are out there listening. And so, you know, it's one or the other. Mm. So I love having Representative Cruz here to kind of, you know, reiterate that for us, the importance of not only funding, but supporting our public schools, but and holding our government accountable to their obligation, you know, to democracy and to the Constitution, to funding our public schools adequately, not insufficiently. Nowhere does it say, hey, it's the government's responsibility to kick some crumbs to the most in need, which are our children and our communities, right? No, it's to adequately fund public education for a strong economy, for a strong democracy. So I love having her on. I hope it's first of many.
Yes.
You know, conversations with Representative Cruz.
Well, because I, you know, and I want to get to another thing that's kind of troubling in her conversation, the quote, bipartisan, and not troubling with anything Representative Cruz said, but bipartisan. And you know what, Johnny, here's the thing, right? That meant that some, quote, Democrats, some pro-public schools Democrats made this happen. You know, I want to understand that, because it's like, wait a minute, you finally got fair maps. You finally had some leverage.
Well,
and
Tim,
go ahead.
Maybe some Democrats don't know the difference between shoe polish and apple butter. Just saying. You don't have to be like, you're not immune to that,
right?
Just because you identify as a Democrat. And so I get where you're going, but yeah. I'm saying, let's simplify it.
Yeah.
There are probably some Democrats who don't understand the difference between shoe polish and shinola. Or what? No.
Yeah.
Shoe polish.
Yeah.
I'm messing it up, but shoe polish and apple butter. That's my FCC version.
Well, and you know what? To all you apple butter lovers out there, now it's time for your moment of zen. Civil disobedience, that's not our problem. Our problem is that people are obedient all over the world in the face of poverty and starvation and stupidity and war and cruelty. Civil disobedience.
Hey, thanks, listeners, for tuning in today and listening to today's broadcast with Representative Cruz. Wow, you're lucky out there in Racine. And if you want more Busted Pencils podcasts, please just head on over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever it is you get your podcasts at. And you can always find us at civicmedia.com or on our website, bustedpencils.com. And remember, you can always find great Busted Pencils content every Monday for homeroom, Wednesdays for class and session, and on Fridays for producer Jacob's Choice. And of course, Pencil Busters, you can always, just like you did this Saturday, tune in and listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the civic media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.